The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. Our first guest, Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner, because other than COVID, housing is possibly the biggest issue facing this government. So how have we got to a situation where we're discovering today that the new housing blueprint, which had been promised recently, is now going to be delayed until next month or possibly even longer?
Yeah, good afternoon, Matt. It's been delayed because they simply can't agree on how much money they're going to give to it. We know that at Cabinet last week, there was a bit of a set-to between Pascal Donoghue and the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, over the need to agree this budget. Remember, I think I was on with your show, describing yes. that it had the impact of delaying the summer economic statement, and obviously Pascal Donoghue was less than impressed with that. But what was seen as significant was that the Taoiseach backed Dara O'Brien as housing minister rather than backing the fiscal hawks in the Department of Finance for the first time. That may have been a result of the Dublin-based out by-election and the poor showing that Fianna Fáil had there, but whatever the cause, agreement is still not there between the coalition and between Merrion Street and the officials in finance and the line department in the Department of Housing. We know the overall figure of what is there for current and capital spending as set out in the summary economic statement. What we don't have, I suppose, is this nitty-gritty as to how much of that pot of money is around 11 billion over the next 5 years or so is actually going to go on housing. So what they've essentially decided to do is park it until after the summer recess and pick it back up again in late August, early September. But, for a government that says housing is a very, very high priority and at a time of a housing crisis, the optics don't look good in any stretch of the imagination when you're having to delay this plan past the summer recess.
Does that 11 billion include other things as well as housing? Because Michael McGrath, when I was interviewing him on television last week, suggested 2.8 billion per annum being there for housing. When I put it to him that the suggestions are that the money is going to have to be 4 billion per annum.
Yeah, like the pots of money seem to have shifted around a little bit. I think ultimately that overall allocation is what's stated in the summary economic statement and is what's there. Now, they've always, any forecast that has been given by the Department of Finance is always subject to revision, and they've always, I think, massaged the figures to suit their needs. And I think what was struck an awful lot of people this year is that, they've been able to kind of sign off on a very large increase in spending, and they're doing that because they think the economy is going to grow sufficiently. So the more the economy grows, the more it allows them to stay within European rules and spending rules. But that's all based on assumptions, and there's no guarantee that the economy will grow. So, we're getting into kind of this slightly kind of dodgy space in terms of our fiscal forecasting, because the money we're spending has ballooned significantly since the start of the pandemic. And rather than being the prudent Pascal we've seen it's more like a plentiful Pascal, where the national debt is ballooning and it's going to continue to balloon in the next while. Now, they're making a virtue about spending so much money on housing, but what is clear is that the government has yet to land on a landing zone when it comes to the allocations on a yearly basis between now and 2025. And this housing plan, which is essentially, we're a year into this government's life, it has at most another 4 years to run, and they still haven't delivered their housing plan. So, there's a lot of questions now being asked of Dara O'Brien and Owen O'Brien, speaking to my colleague Elaine Loughlin within the last hour or so, who says, for all their faults, at least Fine Gael were at least able to publish a housing plan within their first 100 days. It's now taken Fianna Fáil 13 months to do it. So, it's not a good day for the government without any stretch of the imagination.
Well, one other point on this, Daniel McConnell, that it does strike me as well that no matter how much money the state puts into housing, that money isn't going to get us to 30,000 to 40,000 units per annum that Leo Varadkar has admitted we need, that there's going to have to be an enormous requirement for the private sector. But that creates its own difficulties, doesn't it? Because that will mean having to depend perhaps on these vulture funds, so much hated, for the construction of many units which won't be released for sale but will be built for rent.
Yeah, and the government has also got itself into a very difficult position, Matt, as well, that we're essentially competing in the private market against first-time buyers themselves. You've approved housing bodies essentially in the market using the state's checkbook to go in and buy up properties as well, essentially for the purpose of getting them to people who need them most. However, when you've got all that competition, all these agencies of the state essentially in the market competing against normal people and not producing the level of housing that we need directly, then it has become this sort of perfect storm. And obviously, know, huge sums of money are being spent in terms of the housing assistance payment, HAP, you know, which essentially is kind of sugar and kind of just, you know, easy money for landlords, etc. like that. You know, we promised that that system would come to an end, but it can't come to an end overnight if the housing supply is not there to meet that demand. So, you know, the money that you're talking about is only a fraction of what is really required. And, you know, Dara O'Brien and his housing department and, you know, Owen Murphy when he was there, when Simon Coveney was there, even when Alan Kelly was there, I've yet to see a plan that has ever come anywhere near delivering what's actually required. They've only ever seen or saw fit to address part of the problem. And because they recognise that probably there is a capacity issue, there is only so much they can do. But, you know, for the people listening on who are looking for a home, that's a precious little comfort, you know, that this is not a system or a crisis that's going to go away anytime soon, that this is definitely going to become a multi-generational problem, because the government clearly is not in a position to address the totality of the problem, and therefore it will have to rely on the private sector, hated as they are, but it can't do all of it by itself.
Okay, one other thing I want to ask you about. We heard there from Niall Colbert in the headlines that the government has issued an apology about the failings of the COVID helpline for people who haven't received their vaccination passport as yet, or have one issued in error. Given the enormous success that the government should be claiming for the rollout of the vaccination programme, how badly does this state on the way it communicates and does things that instead is getting overwhelmed by this latest controversy?
Yeah, it's kind of almost like deja vu or Groundhog Day in relation to this. We were promised and assured that because we were 2 or 3 weeks behind the rest of Europe, that our systems were in place, they were robust enough, and that there was no capacity issues whatsoever. But it was very clear from early Monday morning when the system went live that it was buckling, and buckling very seriously. And then we saw on Tuesday morning that they had set up the second line in order to address the problem. But yes, these kind of long waiting hours were still being experienced. And, you know, what didn't help the matter is that, you know, the two line ministers, Oisín Smith and Stephen Donnelly, are nowhere to be seen. They haven't been on the airwaves. They haven't essentially fronted up to accept responsibility in relation to this. So I do think the government has again shot itself in the foot in relation to this. I mean, what is to stop them coming out, or what was to stop them coming out and saying, listen, this really should only be used, this call line, if you're flying in the next 7 to 10 days. If you're flying in September, stay off it, don't go near it, you don't need to be contacting us because we'll probably sort you out in due course. But we're hearing none of that. And what we're hearing is these kind of people who are suffering 2, 3, 4, even longer waiting times. And then some people who I've been told have literally been waiting that long and the line has gone dead on them, only to have to start again. And the only practical workaround that they've been told to do is to go off and spend several hundred euro to get a PCR test to allow them to continue on their flights, because otherwise they wouldn't actually be allowed to go through. Or if they were stopped in the airport, they would have no mechanism by which they could actually continue to travel without a PCR test. And ultimately, this is a failure of the government's own making. You know, they had heralded the date of July 19th as the start of international travel recovery or returning. They, as I said, they had assured not only us in the media, but they assured opposition politicians at committees and at briefings last week that the systems were up to place. But clearly, they've fallen short, and well short.
Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.